Okay, everybody. Thank you for listening to another episode of Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm joined today by my co-host, Justin Cook. And we also have a special guest this week. It's actually the same guest as last week, Brian Hamilton. A lot of people requested him back, so we got him back on. How you doing out there tonight, Brian?
I'm doing well, thanks. How you guys doing?
Doing good, doing excellent. I think Justin will... He'll be joining us in just a minute. Tonight we got a few things we're going to run down. We're pretty much open for anything tonight, guys. So just call in anything you want to talk about. You know, it doesn't have to be anything, you know, specific, any specific world event, any specific current event, whatever you want to talk about. If you had any questions about any of our last shows, I know we did a 9/11 show earlier this week. We did some other stuff last weekend where we mentioned some cancer cures and things like that. And anything you want to question about, be encouraged to call in. What's first on your mind, Brian?
Well, I guess we could start with discussing Chicago and the G8 summit, for lack of a better term. It's the leader of the leaders of the what they call the industrialized nations, and I guess the economic powerhouses of the globe, which is a crock. But anyway, the people.
When you think police state, you think G8 summit. At least I do.
Well, it's you know what happened in Toronto. What happened in I was actually in Seattle years ago in 1999, I think it was, and I was meeting with some attorneys downtown as the different what they deemed to be anarchists, and now because I wasn't awake back then, but it was a frightening time. But I mean, the riot police and they didn't have the little batons; they had these great big ass. They looked like small fence posts. On horseback and the riot gear and the pepper spray. It's kind of like paintballs, but they have these huge canisters on them. They shoot pepper spray like 40, 50 feet in this huge, kind of like a flamethrower. And, wow. Of course, then they had the implanted anarchists that were actually now looking back. They're all operatives.
Provocateurs. They always are.
You know.
They're there to start the fights. That way you can...
That's right.
Yeah. They'll smash the windows. They'll light the fires. And then the cops will come in and beat the hell out of everybody else.
Everybody else and not them. That's right. And they're all wearing black. Always wearing
black.
Oh,
and they're always... That's so funny because there'll be three of them side by side. They'll all be like 6'2", 240 and they'll have like a black mask on. Like, you don't know these guys are military. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't mean to make a laugh out of a situation that's serious. It's just... how serious are they with this whole, now I heard there was a new legislation they put through like maybe a month ago about not being able to protest in areas they deem like a secure area, like the CIA can just designate an area and then they can kind of just change it, and then if they change it, like you're not allowed to protest within like a mile of it or something stupid like that. Have you heard about that?
The free speech zone. I forget what the actual name for them, like legal name. But if they anywhere that there's a dignitary, a delegate, any member of in any official capacity, they can deem an area within, and they pick it. It's not like they have to issue or give any advance. It's just like, okay, so now on the corner of Main and whatever street, the three blocks on either side is now deemed a no protest zone. And anyone that's inside that zone that opens their mouth is subject to arrest.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, in the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Yeah, well, we all know that's not the truth. Well, at least most of us do now, you know?
It's just so sad that the number of people that do actually still believe it, it's like it's sad and it's frightening.
No, it really is. Really is. I mean, I believed it until less than 2 years ago, you know? Somebody would have told me that, you know, we have a quarter of the prisons in the world here. I would have been like, get out of here. You got to be kidding me, right? Nope.
Well, a quarter of the prisons and the number of them that are actual private facilities. They're not even government run.
Oh, yeah, they're making money off these guys.
Well, yeah, and you can literally, like, I mean, not just the average Joe, but people have literally bought shares in these. We touched on this last week. I read an article the week before last on there was a bunch of music industry execs, and they all signed NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, and they discussed it. They met at this dude's home, and basically it was like, okay, so here's what we're going to do with the hip-hop and the gangster rap and the, you know, that's why you see all the Snoop Dogg and the 50 Cent and all this gangster rap crap. It just basically propagates and promotes violence.
Orders of violence to fill the prisons.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because you mentioned it last week, and since you did, I'm not going to play them right now, but when we go to break later on, there's actually two songs. They're going to be a little explicit, but they're pretty much the two songs that really got that whole, you know, East Coast, West Coast thing going that he's talking about. And while we're mentioning it, I might as well play them while we go on break later. That's Hit 'Em Up from Tupac, and then Who Shot You by Biggie. And then, I mean, pretty much after that, it was like a war. I mean, these guys were on, you're supposed to be on professional award shows and stuff, and you got guys calling each other out, you know, East Coast ain't got no love for us. It's like almost like the whole politician game almost, isn't it? East Coast, West Coast. You guys are claiming a side of the same country. I mean, you gonna kill each other over it?
That they
never
did.
Got it, you know, and they did. A lot of them did. I mean, so many of them bought into it. So many of them still do. I grew up with kids that wouldn't listen to West Coast rap at all, just because it was West Coast, even if it was really good. You know,
that's bizarre. No, there's so much influence, and we touched on this last week also with the music industry, and just the way that it is so intrusive into the psyche and into the subconscious, and the programmability of the human mind is beyond, you know, like I know a little bit about it just from a marketing background, but where the occult and, you know, some say satanic, and I agree, influence in the music industry with Madonna and Nicki Minaj and all of these with their rituals and stuff. And you mentioned award shows, and remember Jay? No, what was it? Beyond, not what the hell's his name? The kook. Everyone thought he was a nutcase. He's dating Kim Kardashian now. I'm going brain.
Chris Brown?
No.
I'm bad with the celebrities too, guy. So don't pay attention to him.
Kanye West.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Kanye West. When he came out talking about George Bush, and everybody thought he was way out of line.
Well, no, and then he jumped up on stage as Taylor Swift was receiving her first award. I think it was a Grammy. I'm not sure. No, maybe it was an MTV Music. I don't know what it was. I think it was the MTV Music Award.
Yeah.
And then he hops up on stage and says, you know, Beyonce had the best video of all time. That was actually an induction ritual for Taylor Swift, that part of the indoctrination and the induction into the occult and into the sect is public humiliation and the Masonic influence and all the rest of it. And there's actually on Vimeo and on YouTube, there's a video of Taylor Swift and that whole episode. And in an LED screen behind her, there was some sort of a signal that was flashed to the Illuminati members that were, you know, able to interpret that sign that, you know what, all is well. It's she's
really
in now. Yeah, well, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, vigilance. Yeah, it's some spooky stuff. But then, you know, I mean,
that's
it's
thing
like
too, Brian, with the music, you know, with the music industry, the way they do it, they don't hide it at all. I mean, they love putting it right in your face. I mean, they put it in your face at halftime at the Super Bowl, you know.
Well, anytime Jay-Z walks on stage, he flashes the Illuminati pyramid, holding two hands together, making the triangle, and he does not go on stage now. I mean, he was on Oprah, he's on any concert he ever does, on the red carpet or wherever, he flashes the pyramid, and it's like Justin was saying last week, that there's a ton of positive energy, and these guys all believe in all of that vibration, cosmic new age stuff, and people are sending all this positive energy into the, whatever you want to call it, realm, and around these award shows, and these guys are just drinking it all up. They're energy sucking vampires, I think Justin called them last week, which is a perfect description.
Yeah, it looks like Justin just joined in, guys, so I'm just going to add Justin to the call. So just give me 1 second right here. Just stick with us. See if I can get him in here. Justin? Justin?
Yeah, what's up?
There he is. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I don't know. I've had better days.
You sound all right. You sound like you're having a bad day, buddy.
Yeah.
You still all right to do the show, or you need a night off?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Just go ahead, go on. I'll be with you in a minute.
All right, cool, man. If anything's wrong, bro, you don't have to stick around. Don't worry about it. Brian, now what were we saying? We were just talking about the we were getting back into the Illuminati music industry a little bit. You know, not we weren't getting too deep into it, but we were kind of talking about how it's really just right out there in your face. I mean, they don't really do anything to hide it. And Brian was talking about how every time now, like when Jay-Z gets on the stage, he throws the diamond sign up in the air and
yeah,
different things like that.
Direct symbol of Aleister Crowley's cult, and that's the Ordo Templi Orientis, OTL. And if you look at it,
Justin, your mic, maybe your wire is a little loose.
Hold on. You know?
Yep.
All right, well, crap. Aleister Crowley actually uses that same symbol. And, of course, we know Jay-Z is a big Crowley fan. He has all of his sayings on his T-shirts and everything.
Yeah, do what thou wilt.
Right. The extent of the law or whatever, yeah.
As above, so below, all of that stuff, yep.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so you know, yeah, it's totally in your face, and it's way more, I don't know, it's way more in your face than I think ever before. I mean, I you know, maybe I'm just saying this because I'm, you know, aware now or whatever, but even if you look back at the old album covers and the old lyrics, you know, there would be a song every couple of years or something that would be, you know, kind of a cult, but now it's constantly.
Oh, it's all the time. I've really noticed, like I told you, I was a huge Jay-Z fan, so I listened to all his stuff and didn't really know what it was. But sometime after, like, maybe 2003, I stopped liking his music so much, and it just seemed way different to me. And now I think I know what it is. You know, it's all this other shit going on, and I just never picked up on it. You know what I mean? I never bought into it, but I never picked up on it at the same time. He changed. His whole message. We got a caller right now that I spoke to earlier in an email. He listened last week. He was very interested in speaking with us. I'm going to put him right on. Hang on. John, are you there?
Yo.
Hey, glad you could call in tonight.
So am I. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm here with Brian Hamilton. He's here tonight. And Justin Cook.
Well, hi, guys.
How you doing?
Good.
How you doing?
Good.
What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I'm just calling in. I just was listening. I guess I'm not in sync with the show. You guys were just talking about the music business.
Still yep. Talking about it. Go ahead.
And, I was in it for a while, and, you know, and back in the early 70s. And, I hung around with some people that went on to become pretty big in the music business. I don't want to mention their names right now on the air, but one of them was a record producer, and he I emailed him a couple of years ago, and I just to ask him what he thought of the 9/11 thing, and I never heard back from him. And the reason I emailed him was because he, you know, to this day, he's probably one of the most intelligent people I've ever met. You know, I met him before he was a big-time record producer.
Yeah.
And just kind of as his career started to take off. And, but, so he, you know, because I was thinking, well, this 9/11 thing, like, whether you get it or not, doesn't seem to have anything to do with how smart you are. It's some other psychological thing.
Well,
anyway.
That has something to do with it. That has part to do with it, but it's more about being open-minded and being able to admit you're wrong and move on.
Because I know some smart people that, you know, don't have a clue, but...
Well, yeah, they can be intelligent but thick-headed at the same time, and those are the people that aren't going
to... Yeah, well, this guy was, like, close to genius. You know, he would have... I think he just happened to be a record producer. He could have been a brain surgeon or rocket scientist or whatever. Anyway, I'm going to try and get a hold of him again and ask him, because the interesting thing was that he produced one of the first bands, and again, I don't want to mention any names on the air, but he produced one of the first bands that I can think of that started this whole kind of darkness vibe in the music business. Now, this band, I don't think they were satanic, or I think it was just more, you know, show, entertainment, shock value, right?
Yeah.
Shock rock, I guess they called it in those days.
Yeah.
And so I don't think there, and this guy that I know is like, was the sweetest, nicest guy you could ever want to meet. I just always, you know, wanting to help people and, you know, just a great guy. So I don't think there was any, you know, evil intent or pact with the devil or anything, but I want to ask him, you know, was he ever invited to, say, join the CFR or something like that, you know, any of these organizations, or did he ever feel any influence from above to, you know, go in that direction?
Yeah,
and,
plus get his input, and all. So he won't give you an opinion on 9/11 at all?
I just emailed him once, and that was like 5 years ago or so, and you know, he always answers my emails, but he didn't answer that one.
That's so, cognitive dissonance right there, you know.
Well, I don't know, you know, I can't really make any assumptions about why he didn't answer.
Or he's an insider, one or the other.
But, anyway, I want to talk to him, and I was talking to Brian. This isn't really about the music business, but just kind of, you know, trying to dig up some first-hand information from people, you know. So in his case, I'd like to know firsthand from him whether, you know, anybody approached him from you know, to be in the culture creation business instead of just, you know, making music, right?
Exactly.
And my wife has a cousin in New York who she works for the cousin works for an advertising business or something, and her husband works for some TV station. So I want to get a hold of him because apparently he filmed some of the dust cloud on 9/11. I don't know which one. I tried to search on YouTube and I couldn't find any videos credited to him. But what she told me, his wife told me, that he had filmed the dust cloud and he gave it to CNN. So there's a first-hand person. I just like to talk to see what he saw and heard, or what he says he saw and heard that day, and where he was, and you know, I put an ad in the New York Craigslist saying, you know, anybody who was there on 9/11, I'd like to hear your story, and that was immediately flagged and deleted.
Just to interject real quick, so you guys know where John B's at. I was able to speak with him earlier for a few hours, and he's pretty much at where the three of us are about at with the 9/11 stuff as far as the research and what he's found out so far. So the questions that he's asking are some of the same ones that we'd probably want to know ourselves, you know?
Well, you know, like I was saying earlier to you, Brian, you know, what do we really know? I think all we really know is whatever the New World Order wants us to know.
I still think they're hiding something huge. I think there's something.
Well, yeah, they do.
And
we don't know it, and we may never know it.
But I'm gonna try like hell to find out, John, and that's why we're gonna work together, all of us. You know, all of us good people are gonna get together, and we're gonna try and come up with solutions and figure this shit out.
Because you know, like I said, I have heard Justin say this too. That you know, they do these things sloppy on purpose. They leave all these breadcrumbs around for us to find, and you know, go off on tangents and whatnot.
Right.
And so, okay, we've all come to the you know the no planes and the media fakery. And you know, I was saying like I feel like it's a dead end. We've reached the dead end. Where do we go from here?
We have another caller right now, so just hold on one second,
ahead.
John. I'm going to throw him on, too. Stay on the line, okay?
Yep.
Caller, you're live on the air, Dose of Reality Radio.
How you guys doing today? This is Jeff out of San Fran.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, Jeff.
Good. Is John still on or no? I know.
Yep, yeah, still right here.
Yep,
hey, John,
John's on.
I like a lot of things you were saying. I agree with probably 95 to 96% of what you're saying. The only thing I would strongly disagree with you on, respectively, is the fact that, you know, you said you know a lot of intelligent people that won't even come around to your way of thinking or even hear your research or even you do research themselves and just straight debunk you. The difference between me and the way I think is I think people that are awake and are intelligent. The difference between an intelligent and a smart person is this. A smart person will assess everybody around them. An intelligent person will assess themselves as well and things around them and will allow themselves to open their minds and actually think. So I think, you know, people with our way of thinking that are awakened from the bullshit and actually can decipher through it because all the stuff in front of us, it's all in front of our eyes. You just have to be able to know what you know now and know how to decipher stuff between the false flags, between the false media, between the false truthers, between the propaganda, what's true and what's not. They're just going to keep flooding everybody with information that will just have you looking and chasing yourself around circles.
Maybe we could use a word like this, somebody that's like the most book smart person, you know? Somebody that's really considered really book smart.
Well,
they're kind of naive.
This is my point. Not to cut you off, and I'm sorry for doing that. It's just,
that's okay.
You know,
I cut you off.
The way I feel now is everything I've been taught at school. It's just a bunch of BS. You know, I feel like I've been being lied to my whole life. So
I feel the same way, buddy.
Who's to say that the people that think they're book smart are actually smart? What? Because they have the conceived notion that they are smart. No,
we're agreeing.
You know,
we're agreeing. Some of the people that think they're really book smart are really naive, and those are the people that won't get none of this. They won't understand
because they're so smart. Because they're too comfortable with their American idols and their fucking six pack of beer.
Exactly.
And their fabrication of their American life that they think they're free. These are still the same people that they actually think they're free in this country. You know, they don't understand the takeover that's happening. You know,
it's just invisible change, man.
Because I still have daughters in this world who are fairly young are going to see a lot of the things that are about to come on school. Hopefully, enough people start to be awakened. I mean, you're not going to be able to wake somebody who doesn't want to be awakened or is not awoken. So, getting back to a couple of weeks ago when you guys were talking, I'm a firm believer in that now. I'm not even trying to wake people up anymore. I'm just going to focus on the people that are awake. And have that.
What about people you care about that aren't awake? Are you giving up on them too? I'm being
no,
serious
I'm
because I don't know where I'm at
no,
on that.
I'm not, and that's just because Justin can clarify this more because he knows me and he knows the kind of person I am. If I have love for you and I consider you my family or I consider my friend, and if you're that close to me, my friend, like I consider Justin my family. You know, he's been through, and he's a real friend because he's been with me in the darkest hour and he's been with me in my most shining moments. I've saved money, I've blown money, I've been rich, I've been poor, and I've been rich again. You know, but his friendship's always been there, and it's never been fake, and it's never been to the point to where it had to be where he was one of these kids that were just coming around because, you know, we were making moves back then, and, like, my whole way of thinking, my whole lifestyle is different. Back east, I was a drug dealer. Out here, I'm a writer. And I'm writing about my life experiences, and I'm working on projects. I have an adult cartoon that's going to be coming out within the next year. These are things I'd never be able to do back home because I was stuck in my own personal head that I created for myself. I'm saying, like, there's a lot to be said about a start. You know, and I was already thinking this way of thinking, but ever since I've been out here, it's just like light went off of me, and I see things for what they really are. And I'm at an inner peace to myself where I'm not being manipulated by the pharmaceutical drugs that these people push. You know, right now they have a bill in Congress that they're trying to phase out supplements and vitamins.
Codex Alimentarius.
And they've already started in the UK, I believe, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, no. They're already taking them off the shelves in the UK, but this is soon to be coming on this. I was saying some things. I mean, the whole I know you guys are already touched on this, too, but, you know.
That's cool, man.
Occupation this, occupation that, Chicago, Greece, all these other things. It's just so funny how these people think they're making a difference being influenced by these lower-level government agents who infiltrated their group are the ones that are actually, you know, trying to get them to do things that are going to cause, you know, mass riots in the street and everything else to where, you know, the National Guard is going to have no problem coming in and implementing martial law, curfew, and then here you go. You know, freaking people are going to, then they bring in the next phase of it where you're going to have to travel from state to state with a freaking different ID just to get into that place. You know, it's going to be to the point to where our borders will be shut down and people can't either leave or go from the country, not only in their own state.
And it's all over bullshit.
People think I'm crazy when I say I'm trying to get my family out of this country. Because this is not the country I was born into.
No,
I don't think it ever was.
Not. No.
It's really not. And when people start to get that idea, and that, you know, the funny thing is we live in a society today where the theories have more truth than what people are perceiving as truth, to what's put on TV. You know, to me, 9/11 was just a modern version of Wag the Dog. You know? It pretty much was. You know, they learned from their mistakes. Think how real that looked back then. That was in the mid-90s. You know, we already know that their technology is 30 years ahead of what we already see.
Yep.
Right.
You know, but they do make mistakes, too. They're not as sick as they think they are, you know? Just getting back to my point, that the information is there. It's there, it's just, they're laughing because they know Americans are so freaking ignorant because they dumb them down with pharmaceuticals, they dumb them down with their reality shows, with the Kim Kardashians of this world, where they get
people
people in their lives that
have
no
stories about people like her. You see stories on TV, like, they'll do a news story on, like, what Kim Kardashian's doing. Like, who gives a damn?
How is that helping me in my daily life? How is that helping me in my daily life? You see what I'm saying? But people eat it up. You know, it just goes into the society we live in. And then anytime that somebody actually speaks the truth about peace and one world, you know, one world in the sense of, you know, we can all get together and actually, you know, be a nation, be a world without wars, without peace. It's everything else. The people that are in power are the ones that keep friggin' pushing their agendas and keep going through everything they're going through and causing all the damage and destruction in this world. There's enough natural resources on this planet where there shouldn't be anybody hungry. There shouldn't be anybody starving. There shouldn't be anybody homeless. You know, but
that's a fucking great point right there.
It's
so true. It's so true.
If people think the world's gonna end, you're solely dismissed. You know, I'm not saying the whole race of people can't be wiped off the planet. That could happen. But what? The world's gonna be taken down and just disappear overnight or within this year when it's been going on for millions of years. You know, it's survived whatever knockout times, survived meteors, you know, countless things hitting it.
Yeah,
floods,
that's all.
Ice ages. And it's still here with plenty of resources to go. Yeah, we're depleting these resources, and that's why they want to implement population control.
Just
also because these people think that they have the technology to live forever.
Jeff, if you say we're depleting the resources, right, what do you get to tell the consumer? Oh, the price has to go up because the resources are going down.
Fake scarcity.
Right? Fake scarcity, and it jacks the price up, and that's what they do. Look how much it costs me, like $500 to heat my house in the winter.
It's fear-mongering, and they got it to the point now where they play Spin Doctor so well, they're pretty much fucking professional DJs with the way they're used to spinning everything, to where they have it set up now. So where whatever you believe in, whether it's religion, whether it's anti-government issues, whether it's distrust in people or races, they can come at you with all of them or any of them. You know, they can throw the race war at you. I heard that Louis Farrakhan, I was doing some more research today, is supposedly trying to orchestrate Muslim and black protests in a lot of major cities. what could probably turn into deadly, and that could just start the race war. Or, you know, let's just say all of a sudden, because Europe's economy is crumbling, let's just say that up in the floats, what's going to happen next? It's going to be inflation in this country where people can't afford to take a trip unless you're mega rich or you're super elite on a plane or a train or even afford to gas in your car, afford to feed your family with bread and everything else. And then what happens when the dollar collapses and people find out the pensions?
I almost
now it's worthless and it means nothing. You don't think there's any mass chaos in this?
I actually have a feeling. I have a feeling what they're going to do with the dollar is they're going to bring it to the brink, and then they're going to have some.
They can institute the gold standard or something like that. That's my point. There's a million ways now, and what they do is they feed off the train going by. They feed off people's fears and theories. They're going to throw so many things at them to where, you know, oh, it's just conspiracy theories being conspiracies and everything else to get so where people just.
That's why they do it. That's why they have so many theories to confuse you, you know?
Yeah.
Keep you going on rabbit trails.
And here's the thing, too. Now, here they have all these set up groups to go in. Now, if you happen to learn a little bit about 9/11, okay, you fall in the truther group. If you, have a problem, if you lean to the left, and you're not up on, you know, then you go to OW, you know, the Occupy movement, and then they have the Tea Party for the people on the so-called right. They have, you know,
Zeitgeist
for the, you know.
My point is, go ahead. I'm sorry.
They just have controlled avenues for people to go in, no matter what you're interested in. And people will just sit there in their own echo chambers. I see it on Facebook all the time. They're just throwing links up, and these links mean nothing to me.
Without even reading it, dude. People don't even read what they put up there.
I'm personally starting to think that I'm actually leaning towards canceling my Facebook account. I'm actually starting to believe that they set this up all along just for a way. Think about it. If you wanted
to have you ever read my blog on it?
Without their permission and get an insight into what these people are doing in their daily lives, willing to throw that out there. I've even been a victim to this myself. You know
Jeff, it's 100% fact. Jeff, let me send you my blog. It was made by a guy named James Breyer who came from DARPA and the CIA, and they wanted to make a data mining project in 2003 about how to use the internet to track what everybody was doing, who they were with, where they were going, where they were buying plane tickets, yada, 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 yada. 6 months later, Facebook starts, okay? But if you watch the Social Network movie, they tell you Peter Thiel owns 7% of the company because he put up like $500,000. Well, this guy, James Breyer from the CIA, he put up $13 million to Mark Zuckerberg, and his name's not on the paperwork anywhere. It's a total CIA DARPA operation. I'll send you my blog on it tonight. You got to read it, dude. I'm telling you.
Now, mind you guys, Peter Thiel is a guy that, you know, is actually the Bilderberg member. You know, we have this big scaremonger group, the Bilderbergs, which in reality is just another roundtable group. Don't get me wrong. You know, they're for the globalist agenda.
The Occupy Bilderberg that's coming up in Virginia.
Yeah, just the whole thing of how they're made out to be, you know, like the top of the top. And it's so untrue. And, you know, I mean, yes, they are powerful people, but still, the way that these people are you know, saying Bilderberg this, Bilderberg that, like every decision's gonna be made there. It's actually funny to me. But anyway, Peter Thiel is a Bilderberg member, and he is the top contributor, or he owns the biggest political action committee for Ron Paul. If that tells you anything, too.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to this. The people that don't think it's all smoke and mirrors, I ask them this question. Okay, if it's not all smoke and mirrors, okay, and they don't want this shit to be on TV to where people are starting to get upset about it and to just have these people who actually are awakened start to try, and the people that are starting to be awakened just clash with each other, you know? If it wasn't smoke and mirrors, okay, they're advertising it everywhere that they're going to occupy Bilderberg. And these people know this, so just like they did with the NATO in Chicago yesterday, today. These people know this. So if they don't want to be in the public light, wouldn't they just change their meaning somewhere? That's like me when I was hustling. If I was going to go make a drop and I knew the spot was hot, or I knew that, you know, there's a good chance that I could be pulled over on the way there and be exposed for what I was up to, I'm not going to go there unless I want it to be exposed, unless I want, there's an alternative agenda, which gets back to what I said a couple of weeks ago when I called. These people are very smart people. Okay, they're not dumb. They have a contingency plan for everything. If this goes this way, okay, this is our rebuttal. If this goes this way, this is what we do. And all this stuff is all mapped out, you know? But once you start to understand that, then you can start to be enlightened and start to decipher through all the bullshit, you know?
Yep.
It's not that hard once you see this life, but it is. You know what I mean? And I've come across this within the past 2 years. I've done a lot of soul searching with myself, and I know what it is actually to live now. And I know that what I've been doing for the past 8 to 10 years is totally irrelevant. You know what I mean? It's not about making money. It's not about freaking putting yourself in a stature. And all this is your left side of your brain with all your ego. It's all that noise, okay? You don't need it. Once you don't have an ego, you can see for what it is. I am in my life now is I'm trying to help people. That gives me more enjoyment than ruining lives. You know what I mean? But these people are evil. They're evil fucking people. They're left-brain people. They're not right-brain people. And they're up to some crazy shit, and it's gotten to the point now where people are just panicked and they're thinking it's too late and nothing can happen. And it's the whole reason why they're starting to censor the internet now, and they want to put a censor on it because there's a lot of raw knowledge out there now, and it's not the same. I saw a professor talking today on a lecture, and he was saying how he's actually pleased the way things are because people can take that raw knowledge and they can make it their own, as opposed to institutional education, which is in this textbook, and we're going to learn about history through pages 1 through 100. These people have a Columbus Day holiday for a man who had a map to this world and discovered a world where people were already living for hundreds of years. It's ridiculous to me. The history is written by the people that win the wars and the people that are in the
that's you get a lot of shit.
Crazy.
You know, and here's the thing, though, too, is actually what's funny is with a lot of the stuff like you were just talking about, like, you know, people wanting all this stuff and everything. And a lot of that goes back to the social engineering, and that goes back to the music of today and everything. You know, what's really funny, not funny to me. It's sad. It's scary. But you have all these people out there going after these blood diamonds, you know, that come out of Africa and everything else, and half the people wearing them are black people, you know, and they have them chasing after this stupid rock, and it's, you know, it's a shiny rock and everything else, but they have people, you know, going out and killing each other over this stuff. It's feudalism at its finest, class warfare, and yet, you know, how do you tell a bunch of kids not to fall into it when it's, you know,
yeah,
when
it's an inside joke, and you know me, and what I'm about to say, I'm going to say it, but you know me well enough, and people that are listening that don't know me, I don't have a racist bone in my body, okay? My wife is Colombian, my kids are half Colombian, along with me, who is a mutt. I'm a little bit of French, Polish, Irish, and Italian. But, you know, it's an inside joke with these people, you know? It goes back to a play on words, pretty much, in my mind. You know, black people, which were never supposed to be, it's a lot of the history, a lot of the teaching of these people, actually considered, you know, influential people who actually had real teachings to give, you know, back in ancient times. When they made them slaves, they put them in chains and whips. And then now the celebrities or the music people, you know, what do they glorify? Chains and whips, cars, you know what I mean? It's almost like a play on words to where they're just letting these people know they're still in there. And it gets back to the point that I made a couple weeks ago, is you can't be a successful artist, you know, nowadays. Used to be rock and roll, now it's hip-hop. You can't be a successful artist and get to a level of mainstream success without selling yourself out and selling your soul. Why don't you think you see artists like Jadakiss, who are way can punish Jay-Z in a lyrical battle? Why don't you see guys like that, just as famous, if not more, who have more talent? You don't see it because these people don't have the same ideas and the same agendas and don't want to go along with these things. They actually care about the person that they're going to become. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're so right. That's exactly what we were talking about at the start of the show.
Yeah, I was eating dinner. I didn't catch that. And plus,
that's
I know
exactly
a
what we were talking about, man. Exactly. Listen, I put a blog on your page, though, on your Facebook page. When you get a chance, read it. It's all about the CIA and how DARPA started Facebook. I really
yeah, the only
did
reason
a little
I
bit.
Have, the only reason I haven't canceled my Facebook account is because I'm trying to help you guys grow the show with more audience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why we need it. That's why don't cancel it. You know, because everybody's going to be here anyways.
Here's my opinion on Facebook. It's a double-edged sword. The way I look at it is...
let's use it for what we can, man. Let's get the most out of it.
Every one of us...
It's a good tool. It's a good tool for us, man.
Every one of us is on Homeland Security watch list, I'm sure. Every one of us. But, you know... I probably wouldn't know
any of you guys, though, without it.
Exactly.
You know what? And I wouldn't have all these friends I've been having. I've been reaching out to people in different parts of the country and getting more exposure to the information they have that I don't get through this country because it's blocked or because it's fabricated. You know, that's been helping me decipher through a lot of this shit, too. You know, it's getting back to the point. This government, this administration has you hating, you know, people and races and religions for no reason. You don't even know why, you know. After 9/11, when I used to live in Connecticut, it was 2 days after that. There was a man who was from, he might have had, some Middle Eastern origins, but he was born in this country. Okay, barely even spoke with an accent, pretty much. And that might have just been, you know, influenced on the way he grew up around. His parents were probably from, you know, one of the Middle Eastern countries. But anyways, somebody goes in there, and they're pissed off about 9/11. They sock this man in the mouth 3 or 4 times. I think he broke his nose.
I remember that.
They call the cops, and guess who gets arrested? The store owner. I was standing right there. The cops know me because I used to do a lot of...
That happened all over the place.
He said, don't make a fucking big deal out of this. I said, listen, I said, I wouldn't snitch on my best friend. I said, I wouldn't snitch on my worst enemy. So, you know, I'm not going to. And at the time, you know, I was brainwashed too, but, you know, thinking that these people were responsible. It just goes to the point that, you know, they have you hating people for no reason why you don't know why. It's just like, I heard this lady complaining.
Because they
want to
steal this shit. They want to go over there and steal this shit and kill them.
Oh yeah, they want to deplete their resources and everything else. I mean, this is exactly what I said.
Why make us hate them first?
I posted something in UC Cedars or in the Real News Online page, and it was saying pretty much, I was being sarcastic, asked a question, but what I said was, does anybody else find it a little strange that the invasion with parentheses opium coincides with the invasion of all the stronger opiates in America?
Oh, I talk about it all the time. The same 10 years. Everybody in the last 10 years in this city's gone downhill, and in the last 10 years we brought the production up to 90%. You think that's a fucking coincidence?
No, it's not. It's not a coincidence that every so many generations has their epidemic. The '80s was crack, the '70s and sixties was heroin and acid. You know, you go back even further. You go to the war against marijuana, which has actually been proven. When studies to be able to cure a lot of these diseases that they say can't be cured. You know why? Because you can grow hemp for free pretty much once you, you know, get your things off the ground, and that depletes, you know, a lot of their, you know, it's a big money machine with the pharmaceuticals. I've had 5 or 6 friends overdose pills and about another 10 acquaintances, okay? And I saw a lot of ugly shit. It got to the point where I was tired with the whole thing. And now I realize what I was doing. I was helping them spread their agenda. You know, you see all these suburban towns and all these cities, and kids are all fucked up on pills, and that's our new generation, that's our generation. Our generation's heroin. Our generation's drug of choice right now. And it's actually taking lives to the point to where it's dumbing you, and it's doing what it wants to do. It's dumbing you down to where all you care about is that drug, and you don't even care about what's going on in your own life.
Let me interject real quick and ask Brian, because we haven't heard from you in a while, Brian. In Canada, is the problem just as bad? Is the opiate problem just as bad? Is it running rampant right now through everybody?
Yeah, it's as a matter of fact, I was just watching a documentary on it last night, and typically what's happening now is the prevalence. I mean, it's so available that, you know, like a prescription OxyContin in Canada costs upwards, they were saying, $80 for a whatever milligram.
It's a dollar a milligram. It would be the 80 milligram of things, and now they're going for a dollar a milligram. Before they took those off the shelves in the States, you can get
10 shots of heroin in a, like they call it a bundle, and it's 10 individual, like little packets, little bags, they call it, for $80. So you get, basically, it's 10 to 1. And it's now, it's no longer the You know, when I was growing up, an addict I always thought was a guy down on Skid Row, and he's like sucking water out of a mud puddle to stick it in his arm, kind of thing. And,
that's not the modern addict anymore.
No, it's like,
just like,
you know,
me and you.
Yeah, and I live in a nice area, and it's just as prevalent now as
It has no location. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's in their city. It doesn't matter if it's in suburbia. You can get these pills anywhere. And I'm not talking about the 5 milligram Percocets, 10 milligram Percocets, the Vicodins. Yeah, those have been around forever. What I'm referring to, which is why I said the stronger opiates when I pose this question, is the oxycodones, the Oxycontins before they took those off the shelves because people were just rampantly dying, where it was an epidemic.
Well, and that brings...
They still have them. They just gelled them up. You can still get them.
I know that. I used to sell them. What I'm saying is these things are... And he was alluding to heroin, but the problem is this is a form of synthetic heroin. So it's heroin without all the bullshit. That's why these kids are getting hooked on it. Do you know this drug?
Although they also add mind things to it, too. They actually add antidepressants to these things, too.
Oh, no. Trust me. Cookie, I was at the point where, you know, I was on my lowest lows, bro. You know what I mean? Like, fucking, these things just totally took over my life and erased my mind. You know, it's pretty much why I moved at the beginning of it. I came out here just to get clean because I wanted my life back, dude. It got to the point to where, you know, I'm being a single father. I got to run around, make all this money during the day, and I'm just getting high all day, and I only have a certain amount of time to where I got my kids at school to when I got to get them off the bus, and I only have that certain amount of time to do what I got to do. These drugs are manicured to where you can be hooked after the sixth day. So that's 5 consecutive days of use. That's just one pill, okay? I was doing around 10 to 14 of them, you know? It turns you into a zombie. It does. And after, so let's just say a normal person hurts their foot or something, it gets hurt on the job, and they go to the doctor, and they prescribe them 15 milligrams or 30 milligrams. Usually doesn't happen off the rip, but if you start seeing the trend, it's starting to happen more loosely. They're starting to be a lot more looser. It used to be to where, and I see it out here now, it used to be to where you had to have a pain management doctor sign an authorization for you to go get something stronger than 10 milligrams. They're not doing that out here. I don't know if they stopped doing it back there, but they don't do that out here anymore.
I'm back. I stepped away for a second. Yeah, then you don't know if they're doing what out there anymore.
Well, back east, I don't know if they're doing this. But now you don't even need a pain management doctor to go get 15s and 30 milligrams out here, out west.
Oh, you do out here, at least in Lowell. Maybe not in Florida, but at least
Exactly, and that's the thing. They have these loopholes, and they do it on purpose now. You have a state like Florida. Everybody goes down there and they just
let you get whatever. You can go doctor shop and go bounce around.
And people are still making money. That's how inexpensive it is for people to fly down once a month, go down and stock up on these things from 2 or 3 doctors. You know, have 2 or 3 people come back and you know, have a month worth of pills, and they're gonna sell them for, you know.
Oh yeah, well, they're selling them for $20 to $30 a pop for the 30s. Right. You know what I mean?
And if anybody doesn't think they're allowing this to happen, just look at this. Why is Florida, which is the fucking pill capital of this country, still not have a system set in place to where they can monitor and watch the doctors write the?
And where's the easiest place to bring the pills into? Fucking probably Florida, right?
Yeah. And that would be the number one place you would think that would want these laws written. You know, that's why if I wanted to, I could take a fucking bus. I could rent a bus from the Peter Pan Company, okay? I could drive down there if I had enough money, and I could just go from doctor to doctor with all these people on the bus, and we could get 230s, 180 15s, and 200 fucking Xanax bars. And if you notice...
From each doctor.
If you notice, a lot of these doctors are trying to push the Xanax on them, too, because... You're not supposed to mix opiates with benzos. What happens is you can end up dying. You can go to sleep and not wake up.
Yeah.
But why would they want it? Why would they want to? It's another form of population control. They're knocking off a lot of young people that way.
It's the population control and the fact that the doctors don't learn shit. All they learn is how to write fucking prescriptions and give vaccines.
Exactly.
And they get paid for it. They get compensated. $25,000 here, vacation home here, vacation car here, golf trips here, just to write extra prescriptions for people that don't even need it. And you're getting everybody hooked on this shit. And that's not none of it's easy to come off of. None of them.
It's the same thing with antidepressants and Adderall, which is like a Ritalin type drug. Now, these drugs make people psychotic.
A lot of the kids don't need that
shit,
man. They need better parenting, dude.
They want to implement these drugs as early as early as middle, even before middle school, as early as elementary school.
5 and 6 year olds, they'll give ADD. What do you mean? Why don't you try parenting your kid a little different then?
Yeah.
Try some
new
strategies.
And I seen a statistic the other day.
Makes me so freaking mad. Most, giving them pills at that age.
It was 65 to 70% kids that start off with those kind of drugs, Ritalin, Adderall, at a young age. End up having suicidal problems.
Jeff, we're losing you a little. You going outside?
End up having relationship problems. End up just destroying their lives to where by the time they're in their 40s to 50s, they're on Prozac like a nutcase.
Yep.
You know, it kills one bird, or it kills one stone. The people that it doesn't kill, it just dumbs them down. You know, kind of like what Hitler was doing in the concentration camps with the fluoride. That's why he was giving people a lot of doses of those fluorides that was supposed to dumb them down. So where they didn't feel like they could uprise, or they could take over one of the concentration camps, or try to escape, or what have you, before you started starving them all out. You started with the fluoride to dumb these people down to where they felt like there was no escape. You know, the problem is with this country is people think that they can't do anything and there's nothing to do. A big thing that people are missing is we have the numbers, okay? We do have the numbers, and these people are very small, a very small percentage of the world's population. Problem is, you can't. They've been so good at spinning things that you can't get these people to come together because, you know, even out of the truth movement, they split down the middle. And they got everybody debunking each other instead of coming to one same common understanding. Something's wrong here. Something's really wrong here. Whether it's 9/11, whether it's the economy, whether it's the government. Instead of sitting there arguing about, you know, why your theory's more right than mine, you know, we need to be able to come together and actually come with a solution. You know what I mean?
We need solutions for a lot of things, and that's what. In case you didn't hear earlier, we're going to be putting a forum up on this board. We have a real shitty one right now, but a lot of people visit it. Like probably 1,000 people a month go there and check it out. But this week, I got somebody help me over the next couple days. We're going to have a new forum set up on my website, so we'll have a good place to discuss some of this stuff, I think. But listen, Jeff, we're getting another caller in right now.
I'll let you guys go. I'll go back to listening, but good show like always, and keep it up, fellas. I'm going to keep spreading the word as much as I can.
Yeah, Jeff, please, share the show whenever you can, man.
I am. That's been part of my agenda and part of my reason why I've been reaching out to other people besides trying to get information out of the country. Oh, it's one person tells one person, and you know, we could actually start something where we could actually
each one reach one teach one. That's my theory on that.
Yeah, really appreciate the call though, but we gotta let you fly before this other person hangs up.
Yeah, absolutely, fellas.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. And I think I just missed the other guy. God damn it. He'll call right back. Guy, whoever just called in, call right back. We'll get you right back on. Sorry about that. We were just wrapping it up with Jeff. What do you guys think?
Yeah, no, I agree with a lot of his points, especially now I wanted to put in, especially against the poor, too. Whether it be, you know, poor whites or middle-class whites, this goes along with or just middle class anyone, this goes along with the whole thing of collapsing the middle class, making them poor, making them go on the state. But another one that's hit really hard, and this is purposely too, is in Canada, the First Nation people. And also, you know, here in America, the Native Americans, and these people have been, you know,
who are
they're decimated.
The First Nation people, what do you mean? Like the type of Indian?
Yes, that's what they're called in Canada. Right.
Oh. Sorry, Brian. Don't feel insulted.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not insulted.
I don't know any Canadian history. You know so much about the U.S. We must seem ignorant to you guys because you guys know all this stuff about us, but we don't even know the damnest thing about Canada.
I used to make a lot of money in the bar when I lived in Hawaii. I used to make a lot of money in the bar. I'd bet almost anyone that I could name 30 states before they could name 3 provinces.
And it would work probably every time.
9 out of 10 people would say, well, that's easy, Vancouver. And like, wrong. So I drank a lot for free.
I'll take you on in the bar for that one. But yeah.
Okay, good. I'll just PayPal you a couple of drinks right now. But getting back to the last caller, I forget his name, but we're talking about prescription drugs and all of the quote unquote taboo drugs, oxys and all the rest of it. But what people neglect to learn and or be informed about is that the number one ingredient in Prozac is fluoride.
Right.
Exactly. So, you know, increases docility, and I mean, you want to talk dumbing down, and what percentage of the American or North American population is on an antidepressant or some sort of an anti-anxiolytic, whatever, my dad was a pharmacist.
Anti-anxiety.
Yeah, but it's anxiolytic, that's what it's called.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's a big word. But you know, just the you know, my daughter in school, it's like, you know, the state run schools have a model that students must fit in. And if they don't, you know, my daughter was diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder at the fourth grade. So she would have been, 7 or 8. And I fought tooth and nail, you know, using all kinds of alternative and natural and whatever. And they finally put her on Ritalin. But I, you know, my ego had a big blow. So I went and I had her assessed over at the university here. And her IQ was 98th percentile. She was genius. And she just thought much faster than anyone that was trying to teach her. And so they just couldn't keep up with her. And wow. There's so many of our children are like that are absolutely brilliant little people, but they don't fit into the model, and the teachers can't keep up with them, so they got to drug them. You right. know, it's like, oh, they're staring out the window. They're attention deficit.
And, well, and no, most of the time, like you said, Brian, they're just bored with the work, you know, they're past it. And you know, especially someone like you that probably, you know, maybe you're, you know, some people might have had their kids have a few you know, vaccinations as opposed to, you know, or none as opposed to the people that, you know, got them like they were supposed to, right on top of one another. And some of these kids I'm seeing, they're not going to be able to compete, and it's on purpose. You know what I mean? It's the vaccinations and even like the fluoride dumbed down and everything. It's getting bad. You know, as far as, you know, you know, how dumb people are really getting, you know, and like you said, they're taking perfectly smart people and dumbing them down.
Yeah. And you, that's, you know, all by design. It's not it's very methodical and very well planned.
Oh, it's been going on for a very long time.
There's school systems right across the U.S. that are getting performance bonuses based on referrals for medication.
Wow. You know, and they're giving them by referral.
Well, it's like the incentive program. A friend of my mother's is a pharmaceutical rep here in Canada. She just won a trip. I don't know where it was, Mexico or something, for sales. And she's a pharmaceutical rep. So I asked my mother, does that not strike you as odd that she would get a performance bonus for, you know, increasing the sales of whatever the drug was? And I don't know the name of it, but she won a trip. So her incentive was a trip. Obviously, there's some sort of, like you were mentioning, some sort of a bonus structure in place for the MD who's writing these scripts. It's just absolute insanity. But there are school systems, especially in the more underprivileged neighborhoods, that are getting funding and increased funding as a direct result of Natural News has some articles on this, of increased the drugs like Ritalin and Risperdal, antipsychotics and things.
Right.
Yeah. How about you, John? What do you think about all of this? What's your opinion about all this?
Well, first of all, I sat in during the 80s. I was like an audiovisual tech, and I sat in on quite a few drug company meetings. And I can tell you that the pressure on these salespeople to perform is just unbelievable. It's like really, you know, it very heavy pressure. I mean, it's all nice. They make a lot of money and all of that. But from the top, the most of these meetings that I sat in on and, you know, watched the presentations and whatever, I was like the guy that was flipping the slides or whatever. And, it was just, you know, it really struck me like, wow, I wouldn't last a day in an environment like that. It was just the pressure was really intense on these people. But another aspect of this that is the, you know, I'm 61. So I lived through the 60s. I was, you know, a teenager, born in 1950. So, you know, through the mid 60s and late 60s, you know, I was like 15, 16, you know, into my 20s. And, you know, that whole, as I'm sure you guys know, that drug culture was given to us. And I think the reason is to, you know, because that's what we, to condition us for...
Get you ready for the TVs?
Well, not just the TVs, but now, you know, to my generation, taking drugs now, it was more, you know, pot and LSD, so it was more like enlightening, supposedly, kind of drugs, right? And, you know, although I did know some people that got into heroin and, you know, several of them died and whatnot... But my point is that, you know, I think that we were given that free love drug culture to, you know, the free love part to destroy the family and the drug part to prepare us for this world that we're, you know, we're living in as adults now where we're giving our children Ritalin and we're taking Prozac and, you know, it's we're a drug culture, only now it's the pharmaceuticals, you know, more than the psychedelics that we used to take. And so just extrapolating to the next generation, what I see is, you know, like when I was a kid, tattoos and piercings were, you know, only sailors and bikers and lowlifes had tattoos or piercings.
Yeah.
Now it's like the big fashion, right?
Yeah.
How did that happen? You know, again, I think that was directed, and the reason being that so that the kids growing up today that'll be adults tomorrow, you know, they'll think nothing of having their kids chipped or having themselves chipped because they've already violated the sanctity of the body, right?
Yeah.
So it, you know, it's because I just wondered, like, how come all of a sudden, you know, everybody wants a tattoo, you know, and even like people, some people in my generation, some of my friends got tattoos because it's the thing to do now. It's so fashionable, and when I was a kid, it was like, you know, I remember, you know, you'd hear so and so is wanted by the police. He has a tattoo of a, you know, something on his left arm, right? It was like having a tattoo was like you were marked, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's what they're conditioning the young generation now to accept the transhuman, you know, working towards the transhumanist kind of deal. And so, you know, that's it goes to show you how they do, in fact, work 20, 30 years ahead.
Oh, with
at
everything.
Least.
With everything.
Yeah.
What do you think about what was said earlier, you know, right before that, about the whole opiate thing? And since we brought the opiate production up and then, you know, it hit the U.S. like a bombshell, I mean, that's not a coincidence, right?
Well, I don't know. In my circle, you know, nobody does those things. When I was younger and back in the late 60s, early 70s, you know, all the dope dealers that I knew back then, or most of them got into, you know, eventually got into heroin and cocaine, and I kind of stopped hanging around with them at that point, and several of them died. So, you know. And
yeah, well, as we know, we all went to Afghanistan for, you know, a whole bunch of different agendas, and one of them, obviously, you know, oil, money, whatever you want to say, lithium, opium, and, you know, how they tell you that the opium production's gone up to 90% of the world supply. Well, this country has an opiate epidemic right now, and it's been going on since 9/11, just about. I mean, it's not a coincidence. They've been banging that shit out of there and flying it over.
Yeah, well, the way I heard it, the Taliban stopped the opium production, and then, you know, when the
started it back up.
When your soldier boys went in there, yeah, it's, you know, and now they've got a, you know, the excuse they're using is, oh, well, it's their culture, and, you know, if we go in there and start destroying their crops,
just like it was their culture to throw the dead body in the ocean when that's not their culture, right?
Yeah, right. I know. It's, you know, it reminds me of Alex Jones, you know, when he's explaining why they don't kill him, and, you know, why he doesn't talk about certain things, because people won't even believe the easy things to believe, so he doesn't talk about the more far out things. You know, it's just, it's all the same same kind of excuse.
Yeah.
which I get from another certain party that we were talking about earlier.
Who's that?
Well, I don't know if I want to say on the show.
I'm sorry. Oh, you mean...
I don't really want to badmouth anybody.
No, if we were talking about personally, then... No, I thought you meant somebody we were talking about on the show. If it was a personal thing, then no.
Well, no, it's not a personal thing. It's just, I don't really want to slag anybody in public.
Yeah, that's
cool.
Somebody
who you might even have as a guest on or something in the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
we'll leave it at that.
But,
I respect that. Maybe we'll talk about it later or something.
Yeah, you know, we can talk about that privately, but...
We can talk about it later. Guys, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to take a quick 3-minute break, play one song, and then we'll be right back. Okay, guys? Can you guys all stick around?
Yep.
All right, guys. Stick around. We'll be right back in 3 minutes, okay? You're listening to the Dose of Reality Radio. Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, Brian Hamilton, and John. Is it just John B., or do you not use your last name? I don't really remember.
I don't give a shit anymore. It's John Boychich.
Okay. And we'll be right back with you guys.
It's dead real. Yo, why is Jada kiss as hard as it gets? Why is the industry designed to keep the artists in debt? And why them dudes ain't riding if they party a set? And why they never get it popping but they party to death? Yeah, and why they gon' give you life for a murder? Turn around, only give you 8 months for a burner. It's going down. Why they selling niggas CDs for under a dime? And if it's all love, daddy, why you come with your nine? Why my niggas ain't get that cake? Why it's a brother up north better than Jordan that ain't get that break? Why you in stack instead of trying to be fly? Why is ratting at an all-time high? Why are you even alive? Why they kill Tupac and Chris? Why at the bar you don't take straight shots instead of popping Chris? Why them bullets have to hit that door? Why did Kobe have to hit that raw? Why he kiss that whore? Why?
All that I've been giving is this pain that I've been living. They got me in the system.
Push pounds and powder. Why did Bush knock down the towers? Why you around them cowards? Why Aaliyah have to take that flight? Why my nigga D ain't pull out his Ferrari? Why he take that bike? Why they gotta open your package and read your mail? Why they stop letting niggas get degrees in jail? Why you gotta do 85% of your time? And why do niggas lie in 85% of their rhymes? Why a nigga always want what he can't have? Why I can't come through in the pecan jack? Why the crack have to hit so hard, even though it's almost over? Why niggas can't get no jobs? Why they come up with the witness protection? Why they let the Terminator win the election? Come on, pay attention. Why sell in the stores what you can sell in the streets? Why I say the hottest shit but be selling the least? Why?
All that I've been giving is the pain that I've been living. They got me in the system. Why they gotta do me like that? Try to make it my way.
Let a white man pop her to get an Oscar. And why Denzel have to be crooked before he took it? Why they didn't make the CL6 with a clutch? And if you don't smoke, then why the hell you reaching for my Dutch? Why rap? Cause I need airtime. Why be on the curb with a wild lie? I need a bear sign. Why all the young niggas is dying? Cause they moms at work, they pops is gone, they living with iron. Why they ain't give us a cure for AIDS? Why my diesel have fiends in the spot on the floor for days? Why you screaming like it's a slog, it's only the hawk? Why my buzz in LA ain't like it is in New York? Why they forcing you to be hard? Why ain't you a thug by choice? Why the whole world love my voice? Why I try to tell them that it's the flow, son? And you know why they made the new 20s, cause I got all my old ones. That's why.
All that I've been giving is the pain that I've been living. They got me in the system. Why they gotta do me like that? Try to make it my way.
Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. You're listening to Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, our special guest Brian Hamilton, our caller John B. We had a few other callers tonight, and we're pretty much just running down the gamut of pretty much everything tonight. Anything particular we haven't talked about that somebody wants to mention or get into? I still got a few things on the list, but whatever you guys
got. I'd just like to add something. Sorry, I'd just like to add a little something to what Brian Hamilton was saying about his daughter and ADHD and whatnot. I got a friend who was also a musician, and he had two boys in school, and he was constantly battling with the school, and it was the same deal. They told him that, you know, both his sons had ADD and all this shit. And, you know, he just said, look, you know, when I take them into my studio, the home studio, like, they're, you know, their attention is focused for like 8 hours, 12 hours at a time. You're just boring the shit out of them.
Yep.
You know, so it was pretty much the same deal as Brian. You know, they're smart kids, and they're just bored.
They're not being taught at all.
And, you know, I'm not that smart, but I was the same in school. I was like, and somehow I got away with it. The teacher would be walking along the aisles checking everybody's homework. My page would be blank. And, you know, somehow they let me go. I don't know. They let me get away with it. I was lucky. But I think now, it's all a lot more controlled. And, you know, the curriculum is probably a lot stricter. And,
oh, yeah,
you know.
I'm sure.
Anyway, sorry, Justin. I think you were going to say something.
Yeah, actually, too. You know, you were talking about the 70s and stuff, and you know, and the lack of pharmaceutical drugs. And I just wanted to bring up one thing. There was a very potent drug out in the 70s, Quaaludes and stuff like that. And a lot of these artists and stuff that died, you know, a lot of these musicians, that played a good part of it. And it also was, you know, the thing that you would give it to a housewife or whatever. That was just, you know, just to get her out of it. And that was another, you know, another way of, you know, like you said, getting rid of the family unit. And also subverting people's attention away from the important things. In my opinion, now we had the anti-war movement in the 70s and 60s. I think it was totally co-opted on purpose for the reasons of they didn't want these people to keep following, to keep digging and find out who their real enemy was. So instead of, you know, they just stopped at Nixon and Johnson, and instead of going and looking and seeing who's pulling their strings, you know, they drifted back off into, you know, being sheep. And if you look at them, and that's what a good portion of it was after, you know, the whole Laurel Canyon involvement. But before that, you didn't have the long hairs and the you know, the real, you know, sex stuff going on, and a lot of ritual sex stuff, too. People don't realize, but most of the time the group sex is, in fact, you know, sex magic type stuff. And I just wanted to bring that up, you know. And, of course, back then, too, the heroin was more located in the inner cities, and that was a big thing of Vietnam as well, too, with the Iron Triangle. But, yeah, no, I just wanted to bring those points up.
Well, my old girlfriend from back in the 70s, you know, we were all pretty much middle class, and you know, she became an addict, and that whole, you know,
well, there you go,
a bunch of them became addicts. So it wasn't just like, you know, wasn't inner city, and in
right.
What I saw happening there was the cocaine and the heroin, you know, definitely was a middle class drug
right.
at that time.
Okay. No, I thought. I just wanted to say. Well, both places too. You know, like anything else, it's not hard for someone to go over the you know, to go to the next city, or back then even too. You had more middle class people living in the cities or whatever where they were more prevalent. You're totally right. I think, you know, it's just, I think nowadays though the pharmaceutical thing was an open way into a market that they couldn't tap before, Because, you know, we were brought up in the, I was born in 81. You know, I know these guys are a couple of years older than me. But for the most part, you know, we were brought up with that Nancy Reagan just say no bullshit. And they taught us that pot was just as bad as heroin. So I think, you know, once you did pot and you thought it was okay, it's like, all right, well, you know, they lied to me about that. Maybe cocaine is okay, you know. And then you did that and you did ecstasy and pretty soon you're doing pills and then you can't get, you know, so it's one vicious circle and, you know, and it's all orchestrated. And these people know every step of the way what's going to happen. And,
what's
they got you hooked on that pill, they got you controlled.
Right.
I tried to talk to my dentist a year or so ago about fluoride. And I said to him, you know, I said, what sense does it make to put, you know, I said fluoride works as a topical treatment, right? Not ingested. He goes, yeah. I said, and also it helps kids under 12 or so more than adults, right? He goes, yeah, I agree. So I said, so what sense does it make to put it in the city's water supply when, you know, what percentage of that water ever touches anybody's teeth? You know, you're washing dishes, you're washing a car, you're washing, you're watering your lawn. And you know, so why would they put it in the water supply, you know, when hardly any of that ever touches anybody's teeth?
Because it's probably a hell of a lot stronger than they're telling us.
And he was it's a therapeutic dose, and he just wasn't getting it. That would, like, you know, why don't they put it in bottled water that you can buy at the drugstore or something? Like, it's a tremendous waste. And, you know, for a city the size of Toronto, I think it's like it's $1 million a year or more to fluoridate the water. And, you know, it makes no sense to put it in the water supply and waste 99% of it.
You know why they do it? One of the reasons?
Yeah, it's because they're getting rid of the waste product. That's right.
Free way to get rid of it.
But, you know, it's like my dentist, I'm trying to explain this to him, and it's like, just, he's in outer space. And, you know, because of his education, obviously, right?
You want to know something crazy about that? Is I know people that have actually been fired from their dentist because they opted out of the fluoride treatment for their kids. The dentist said, well, if you're not going to get fluoride treatments for your kids, I don't want them as patients anymore. And that's how deep the indoctrination goes. I don't think that every dentist is evil. You know, I think that for the most of them, they're just taught this stuff.
That's right. You know, to me, that was this idea of it being so wasteful was seemed so logical and like a no-brainer that anybody would get it and think, well, yeah, that is strange. Why would they do, you know, 99% of it or more never touches anybody's teeth.
Right.
But as a waste disposal method, it makes perfect sense.
Right,
and also
breathing it in is the most effective way for it to work on the pineal gland and stuff too. Breathing it in through the shower, you know, that goes right through your pores and everything else.
Brian, what about up in Canada? Has there been any type of movements at all? Like, I know you hear little things down here, like these little towns every once in a while get the fluoride out, but.
Well, there was a huge city of Calgary has banned it, and it's you know, and I'm getting back to what John was saying, the fluoridation, like you said, number one, they needed a way to dispose of huge amounts because it's a byproduct of aluminum smelting.
Right.
And you know, in young children, actually, there's warnings on Similac and Emphalac and all of these baby formulas, do not use fluoridated water while mixing this, you know, and I would say that a huge percentage of moms don't read that label. And so there, and I know that when my kids were little, my ex-wife nursed, but when she wasn't nursing, we were mixing it out of the tap because, who reads the fine print on these little labels? And it actually causes it's called fluoridosis, and it's not good for teeth. And It was first given to the Jews in the ghettos to create docility. You know, that's where the fluoride was first used on humans.
So we're told.
So we're told. That is correct. So we're told. Good point.
I guess that's the big issue with me right now is, you know, what do we know? For sure. Because I say to people, it's like, how do you or I know the world isn't flat? We got to take somebody's word for it.
No, we just look at the pictures they took from the moon, and it shows that the Earth is round.
Right. But you know what I'm saying. It's like unless you go up in space and look at it, or you circumnavigate the Earth, or you know enough math and astronomy and whatever to figure it out that way, you know, we got to take somebody's word for it.
That's why it's a good idea that people like us are starting to really connect. And if we keep connected, let's keep connected through here, through this show or through this forum or whatever we're going to do. And that way, at least we can exchange information from different parts of the world without having to use the media as much.
And you know? Yeah, and this is the thing. I think we have to kind of distill, you know, all the knowledge we've gained to kind of see, you know, how much of it can we rely on to be true.
Like, start fresh. Like, let's go back through some of the history books and go through some shit.
Yeah, like, you know, if we look at the elite's own writings, I think we can, you know, take a lot of that at face value.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
And, you know, that's a start. But obviously, the mainstream media and the alternate media are, you know, owned and controlled by the same people.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we're only going to get some truth, but not all of it.
Right.
And it's always going to have a spin, and it's never going to really lead you in the right direction. It's always going to have a rabbit trail at the end.
And my experience to this point is that pretty much every frontline researcher that, you know, that we've talked about, the people like Phil Jahan, for example, he came out with the hollow tower thing first, I think, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and Simon Schack came out with the media hoaxing and I guess then the no planes and whatever. All these people, to me, you know, they're at least suspect, because I'm wondering, like, you know, did they really figure this out on their own, or did they, you know, did they have some help, and, you know, and because, like, we were talking about Judy Wood, right, and how the if all this imagery is phony, you know, they thought ahead to include phony imagery to back up Judy Wood's theories.
Same with Kalazov. Same with Kalazov, too.
Of course they did. Yeah, his images are phony, too. Of course they did. They wanted as many conspiracy theories as possible to keep people confused.
Yeah. I don't know about Kalazov. I was still pretty dumb, but I couldn't buy that.
Well, here was the thing. I didn't buy directly into Kalazov's theory, but I did think maybe some nuclear device was used at the time, and that was just because of what I was hearing from their information. You know, a part of the people being vaporized, and about the also about, you know, the first responders having rare cancers and blood disorders. You know, so I took it at, you know, face value at the time and thought, well, hey, you know, the mainstream truth movement is pushing this info away. And I know somebody else that wrote extensively on it, and I thought, hey, they might be onto something. So for a while...
You didn't think Judy Wood's thing was more credible?
No, I didn't, because I thought it was... I thought... Why would they have to go to all those lengths? It seemed like they were reaching at the time, but that was just me. You know, a lot of other people that went down the same road ended up in the Wood camp, but me.
Yeah, personally, I didn't find her very credible either. I gave her a long shot. I gave her probably. I didn't read her book. I'll admit that, but she did do like some 4 or 5 hour presentations. and she showed a lot of stuff, and I probably watched about five of those five-hour presentations, went through all her evidence, but I started noticing things, like a lot of inconsistencies with the pictures. Like, you have all these cars that are supposedly blown up from the World Trade Center, from the debris or whatever, but there's, like, no engine blocks, there's no license plates, it just looks like cars from a junkyard. And then you start, you know, you start to question it, and just so you know, John, I called her the other night, and I tried to
call her. Yeah, you were telling me. I wish that was recorded. Yeah. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, she actually, they dropped the whole show once I started questioning the authenticity of her videos and her photos. They dropped the whole show on me. On everybody. They cut everybody right off the air.
Because, you know, to me, I was into her thing for a while. And because I thought it was, you know, possible that the planes, at that time I was thinking the planes could have been holograms, and that, you know, between the hologram, they were sort of testing out their Project Bluebeam technology, because I thought, if they can project a hologram like that, and they can take down a building like that in 10 seconds, like, that's all they need for Project Bluebeam.
John, I went through the same phase with the hologram too, because, and I think it was, you know, somewhat of also because I was leaning towards a blue. I still think there'll be a blue beam type thing happening, but I don't think it needs to be holograms nowadays. I think you just, you know, pull a couple show some on the TV, maybe fly a couple of the U.S.'s own UFOs around, and that's all you need. You know, if you have mass sightings all of a sudden, and then you're seeing it on TV, and CNN's verifying it for you, you know, and then you know, Snopes isn't debunking it, and then that's enough to get, you know, and that, I was going to say that earlier too. We were talking about how smart people get fooled, and I think that's one of the things is they have these avenues, and they believe that things like Snopes or the James Randi forum or any of these other skeptic forums, they believe 100% that these people are right. And the only thing that I would use any of these things for, it would be just like computer viruses and stuff like that. Everything else on their site is bunk. But, you know, that's why, you know, some of our intelligent friends or family members go right on and they see, you know, right away that Snopes is telling them, nope, it didn't happen. That's it's a myth. It's an urban legend. It's a conspiracy theory, you know. Or James Randi forum, which is another big, you know, huge skeptic forum, and right away they're turned off to it and won't look at a single piece of evidence.
Well, you know, I think it might be worthwhile for us all to think about and talk about, not necessarily right now, but. You know, this whole idea of them leaving us all these breadcrumbs, because even like Simon Schack says, you know, they had shitty software. I don't buy that for one second. If they have advanced technology, which all of us know they do, it's the only question is how far advanced is it? But you know, I just can't buy that. They had shitty software, and that's why they made all those mistakes in the videos. And
do you think it could? I'm not saying you're wrong, because I don't know. I'm 50-50. Do you think it could have something to do with just the overall scope of the project? Like, they didn't even finish the memorials. Half the people don't even have pictures.
No, I think they do it on purpose.
Okay.
Because
I'm not arguing with you. I just want to get make sure you heard
just,
my side.
You know, I thought this right from the beginning when I first realized that 9/11 was an inside job. It was
why do it on purpose and leave those clues?
Well, that's
for us.
I think that's an important thing for us to try to figure out.
That's to get
know?
To the next step. That's what we might need to figure out. What the
I
fuck
mean,
that really
part
happened.
Of it, you know, one possible answer, which you guys have sort of covered already. Is that okay? Maybe they know that there, no matter what they do, there's going to be conspiracy theories, and so they throw all this shit out to confuse everybody, right? But because you guys know about the meteorite and the shriveled up file cabinet with the paper stuck in it.
Explain a little better.
This is some of the stuff that supports Judy Woods.
Okay.
right? So, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, they faked stuff well in advance. I don't know when Judy Woods came out, but it was probably like 2005 or 6 or even later before I discovered her. And, you know, so they, if all the imagery was faked, then they faked stuff right from the beginning to back her story up.
Well, like they could have waited, though, because they knew they weren't going to release her story for a few years. They could have waited for the technology to get a little bit better. And then
saying, you know, like, I saw the shriveled up file cabinet with paper stuck. It looked like it was burnt or melted, but there was paper fused with it.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, that would be consistent with some kind of energy weapon and what's his name? Technology, the guy that
Tesla,
Nikola Tesla.
No, not Tesla. The Canadian guy that's sort of repeating.
Hutchinson.
Hutchinson, right? So you know that sort of fit with his theory. So it fit with the energy weapon, and then the meteorite. You guys have seen that car or washing machine sized. Hunk of fused concrete and metal and paper and all kinds of shit, and they can't figure out how, you know. So obviously, if they planted that for Judy Woods, then you know, of course, that tells you 100% that they did it sloppy on purpose to give rise to all these theories. Or, you know, to let a certain percentage of the population...
Or, how about this idea, guys, right? Let's say you take Judy Wood, Kalazov, you take any of the theories. Let's just say they left them sloppy that way, like, so when you try and show somebody else, it's like it's harder to explain it to them, just because it doesn't really look that real. It looks like they think you're showing them doctored footage or something, but you're really showing them the footage that you were shown. Does that make any sense?
I'm not sure what you're getting at.
Say it again, because I
like let's say they made some of Judy Wood's evidence like a little bit sloppy. That way, when you go and try and convince somebody, hey, look at this is what happened. Look at these cars, yada yada yada. That way, they're not really sure what they're looking at. They're not really sure if that's 9/11. They're not really sure if those are real.
I don't think they made Judy... I'm not saying they made her evidence sloppy. I'm saying they put the evidence there to back her story up, right?
Oh, okay, yeah, And we have another caller. We have another caller. Just hold on 1 second, okay, guys?
All right.
I won't drop anybody. Hey, welcome to the call. Dose of Reality Radio. You're on with Justin, Brian, and John. Hello, Gina, I think you might be having a microphone issue. Gina? Gina? Oh, she didn't accept. You guys all still there?
Yep.
Well, let's just keep talking. If she calls, I added her as a contact. Maybe that'll help her. I'll type her a message. Keep going with what you're going with, guys.
Let's look at the Pentagon, for example. Okay? And Shanksville. No planes there. And, you know, and even, you know, if you say no planes at the Pentagon to Alex Jones, he doesn't cut you off. Or, you know, but he'll tell you, and so will Michael Rivero. You know, he gives you a picture of this little picture of, well, here's the plane parts and the luggage, and I can't see any fucking luggage in there. I can't tell anything. So, you know, and what they're saying is that we don't want to say there was no plane at the Pentagon because, you know, somewhere down the road they're going to come out with a perfect video or picture of it and discredit the whole truth movement, right? That's why they don't talk about no planes at the Pentagon, but they basically are saying there was planes at the Pentagon. So,
that's absolute bullshit.
But why would the why? What I'm saying is now, why would the perps, you know, even do a Pentagon or a Shanksville when, you know, especially Shanksville when, like,
for a distraction, because they needed a distraction during that 102 minutes of the building burnings before.
That's what Simon says, but you know, I don't know. I just can't help think there's something deeper there. There's some reason that they, you know, they put, because they didn't have to do this big Hollywood production to in order for them to have excuses to go to Afghanistan and whatnot.
They could have just went anyways.
They could have just nuked the city, or you know, or fake nuked the city, and then just said, you know, that was Al Qaeda, and you know, without all the visuals and stuff, without all the potential for mistakes. You know, and I just don't think these guys make any mistakes. Very, very, very few. So
yeah, they make very few mistakes.
So you know, they're doing this in the way they are to on purpose to let a certain segment of the population know. And you know, one explanation which may hold some water, but you know, I don't think it's it. Is that it's like they're bragging, you know, to those of us who can see what they're doing. They're saying, you know, look what we can do, and you can't do a fucking thing about it. Because, you know, if we start talking about solutions, and I think we probably all agree more or less that the major part of the solution is to withdraw from all their systems, you know, get your money out of the bank, throw your TV out, you know, shop at the mom and pop
stores.
We
talked
about
it earlier, right?
Your
point was, your major point was, we need to get out of all their systems, and mine was, we need to get totally, make everybody distrust everything that comes out of the media in Hollywood. If we can achieve either one of those goals or a combination of those goals, we can.
Well, even the distrust, that's a start. I think, you know, that's why I'm speaking out now, because we do have to get people to wake up one way or another.
I think we need to go after some of these street reporters that were actually, you know, a
but,
couple of
you know,
like,
I hate to say it,
guys.
But I'm kind of pessimistic that, you know, people are gonna do what's required en masse, because what we need, as Justin has said many times, is a leaderless revolution. And you know,
right.
That's if humanity has a failing, I think that's one of the biggies, is our.
That's why we need to expose people like Jones and others, so people don't follow them blindly.
I think that's a big point too about the fact, like you said, leaderless now. People are so used to following leaders and waiting for a leader, and I think that's the case. Is that, you know, that we're all leaders. We don't need any of these, you know, big names or any of these other people. You know, and that's the thing. It needs to be, everybody needs to be involved at the same level. Or whatever, you know, I mean, obviously
we have to break down the pyramid hierarchical structures that. You know, every organization is that's the backbone of our, you know, how we organize our society, and I think that's what we got to break down, because that, you know, automatically implies a leader, somebody at the tip of the pyramid. So that I think we have to, you know.
I think so.
Yep. Okay, guys. This is Gina. This is the caller that just tried to call in. She had a little bit of a mic issue. Is your name Gina, or is it Genie? It looks like it's Genia.
Virginia, Jenna.
Oh, Virginia. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to pronounce your name wrong.
What's going on tonight?
Well, I tried
to get on Mel and them's call earlier, and technical. Anytime I try to do this, this is what happens.
Who's Mel?
Mel and Rosala.
Oh, I don't know who that is. I'm sorry.
Justin knows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's going on? What's on your mind?
Well, you know, he said it right there in a nutshell with me, and I'm going to go right to what I was talking with you about my truth earlier. You know, truths I have to share that I really can't share, shouldn't be sharing, but I'm going to anyways. The whole structure, what it breaks down to, is our children. The children have completely been forgotten about. And if there is no structure for the children, how is there a structure to build anything for anyone?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Can't start from the top and go down. You're gonna have to start from the bottom and go back up.
Right. Well, that's what they have the school indoctrination centers for.
Well, I'm talking more along the lines of human trafficking.
Of what?
human trafficking.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's definitely a big problem. There's, you know, however many kids go missing each day or whatever.
Well, it's like, what, babies born every minute? Every
I think it's a much huger problem than we're led on to believe.
It's a lot huger problem.
Huge.
There's a child goes missing every 2 minutes. You average that up to be, what, 5,000-7,000 children a day?
I definitely think it's around, it's either way, it's around 2,000 a day was a report or something that I had read. But either way, it's still a huge number, regardless.
And where are they getting their statistics from? How do they know? And how can they account for where those children have been?
Well, this is from the alternative media. This isn't the regular statistic that I'm referring to.
But go ahead. I don't know. How do we know that's true?
We don't, but either way, it definitely is going on. But yeah, go ahead, Jinya. What were you gonna say about the human traffic?
Do you know who really the number one, who they really go after more than? You're gonna be surprised.
More
white American kids.
Boys.
Yeah.
Boys and young men.
Oh, of course, look at the, you know, the Johnny Gosch stuff, and, you know, there's been a million kids that have, you know, never been seen again and led into a life of God knows what or whatever.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess because I've just always been open to it because I've been through it, I've had so many guys tell me, I've never told anybody before, and they trust me enough to tell me. My youngest daughter's the same way. She'll come home and tell me that her little boys, you know, that she's just friends with, tell her what their dads do to them. And I got my own theory on what should happen with that, but guys don't talk about it. And that's where the breakdown in society comes, in my opinion. That's a hard one, guys, I know.
It's a real taboo subject. I was raped at 9 years old. And I talk about it freely, just not on this show. But when I've shared that in a semi-public forum, I cannot tell you the number of guys, grown men, that have come up to me and said that happened to me too, and I've never had anybody that I could talk to. Absolutely. You know, you take a look at these pages, and it's they're just being funneled into the White House, and all right. of these elite, and you know, whether it's Skull and Bones or any of the societies, they're all pedophile pricks.
Yep,
I'm not denying any of that happens or anything. But who said it was 2,000?
Okay,
what, a day or a week?
Yes,
or a month?
2,000 a day. It's really closer to like 5,000 a day.
5,000 kids a day in the United States?
Well, the world. They say the United States children, sex trafficking, human trafficking is the second biggest moneymaker. Next to drugs. They go hand in hand. And you want another slogan is what got me the worst. The people who are supposed to be speaking and advocating for this. Human trafficking. Do you know what their slogan is?
Well, what is it?
You can only sell a quarter of cocaine one time, but you can take a human and sell it over and over and over.
Well, we talked about the how It's ridiculous, man.
Well, there's 200,000 a year that are never found. That's a lot of babies.
So what do you think needs to be done besides bring more attention to it with shows like this?
Yeah,
or do you have some other type of solution?
And it's going to have to be strong-armed. I mean, that's all there is to it. This has been going on.
You dropped the call, Gina. I'm not trying to interrupt you, but we dropped John, and I'm just putting him back in the call. Hang on one second. John, okay. Are you there?
Yeah, I got cut off. Sorry.
Yeah, looks like you got dropped, but you're back on. But go ahead, Gina. Finish your point.
Well, I was just questioning the number because I was saying that, you know, if a kid went missing here in Toronto, a city of, you know, a couple of million people, whatever, it would be in the paper. So, if 1,000 kids were missing every day in the United States, or 500 or whatever, you know.
You would think, wouldn't you?
You would think so, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm sure it does and probably often, but I wonder if the number is not greatly exaggerated.
I think the number is greatly under exaggerated, and that's just talking about the children. That's not talking about the adults.
Hey guys, hold on 1 second. I'll get back to this. I just wanted to clear something up. Jibs is saying, some point that got misconstrued between him and John. I don't know what he's really referring to, though. He's saying, I don't know.
5,000 kids a day go missing?
No, not that
point. I think
it
was earlier. It seems like it was earlier.
He seems to think that you were, I don't know, saying something to
disagree against with him, but he's not really even sure about something about freedom of speech. I don't know.
Who really can be sure how many?
Yeah, it doesn't matter, guys. Who cares?
It's a great deal.
Let's move on.
What it boils down to is that, you know, we're starting to look at all this single parenting. And as of being a single mother myself, my daughter, I was threatened to have her taken and sold on the black market. They threatened her to her face when she was 10 years old. They did kidnap her, and they did have her for 3 days. The law is involved. The government is involved. We know this. I know it because I know every cop that I talked to, even though she was epileptic and said they gave her pills, refused to do a rape kit. She said she was raped right in front of the cops, refused to do a toxicology kit. I finally went and looked it up online, the people who I know had her. And do you know they had 5 cases? Toxicology kits had to be, they had be done outside of this place. They had to take them 2.5 hours away. Every toxicologist was thrown out of court, was not even allowed in. Inadmissible.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something else.
It's shocking to me. You know, I mean, I've always known that I was going to do something for children because of what I went through. And yeah. I'm not a hater.
Yeah.
But I thought normal abuse, whatever that is.
Yeah. Man, sexual abuse is just so sick. It's really prevalent where I'm from. I can speak on it a little bit. It's never happened to me, thank God, or anybody close to me. But I live, you know, this whole Boston Archdiocese scandal and everything, and there were tons of kids from my town, tons of kids from my city that got raped. It was a huge, huge deal. I mean, it was huge, and it's like, it's almost like it's not even really frowned upon. I mean, you can rape a kid and get out of jail in 2 years, and I don't know, man. Things need to change as far as that, as far as protecting our children and...
Do you want to know where the first place I ever heard human trafficking from?
Where is that?
Child Protective Services.
Oh, I've heard about it, but I've heard about that also from Alex Jones. So it's like, is that true, or is that?
Is
have
true.
You researched into this?
Yes, I have because
are they really scooping up kids?
Oh yeah. If the state is not allowed to transport that child over the line, period. Even if they remove them, they cannot take them over the over the state line and sell them to another state for adoption or anything else. That's
Here's the thing. Virginia is totally right on this. I think Alex muddies the waters on things like this. But as far as CPS goes, yes. Now there is a concern of them actually taking kids out of good houses and putting them with like pedophilic foster houses.
Yep.
On purpose.
They get paid for it, right? They get paid for it. If the
child's disabled, they get $21,000 the first day they remove them.
Wow.
Yeah. See, and here's the thing too that has to do with that is you know all these places like Boys Town and all, you know, at least back in the 80s and stuff, you know, were totally compliant. With any, you know, CPS to say. In fact, you know, they even murdered a senator over this, Nancy Schaefer.
Yep.
You know.
I remember reading about that. Now, there's more than one reason that they take these kids, though. It's not just for sex. They also take them for the manual labor. Now, in Romania, do you know what they take the children for there?
Organs.
Yep.
Wow.
And we both said at the same time, so.
Yep.
That is, that's something. You want to elaborate on that for a second, Brian?
Well, it's the tip of the iceberg. It's if you read the Talmud, which is the Zionist version of the Jewish faith, and I can't quote it word for word, but it's okay to have sex with somebody who's 3 years less a day, but not above three. It's just the most perverse thing I've ever run across. But I looked into that CPS stuff too. But it's a lot of these, like the elite, they're cannibals, they're pedophiles. These kids are they're sacrificed. Their organs are harvested. It's absolutely bizarre. And you know what? Even the guys in the truth movement won't believe it because it's so heinous that.
How much is it happening here?
Is it a lot?
Third world, or is it like happening here right under our
nose? No, there's a lot here. See, a lot of these parents, like JonBenet Ramsey and stuff, a lot of people think that she was a sacrifice.
Right. You know,
but when the parents are involved in the club, so to speak, a lot of this stuff doesn't get reported. You know, JonBenet, I don't think was supposed to get reported, but it leaked out, and all of a sudden it's like this big murder cover up. But a lot of this stuff, these kids are sold, and I had a friend that was sold into prostitution at the age of 10 into Vancouver, and she was like forcibly addicted to heroin, used as a prostitute for like 5 years until she was all used up, and then she finally broke free and escaped. But, I mean, the abuse and the ritualistic, I mean, these guys, kids are involved in satanic ritual abuse, monarch mind control. Yeah, take a look at the Mickey Mouse Club.
That's what we talked about, remember?
One of the biggest cases, you know, and this is like, this is to me, I think is one of the biggest things in this. When you have the kid, Johnny Gosch, that was taken back in 83, kid was on a milk carton and everything. And they made a documentary about, you know, the Franklin scandal and everything, which he was a part of somewhat, but it wasn't really about him. They made a documentary, and some congressman and whatnot paid for it not to be played. You could still watch it on YouTube. It's called Conspiracy of Silence. But anyway, the kid Johnny Gosch now has been gone from his mother ever since then, ever since the age of 12 years old or whatever. Now this kid showed up a few years ago as this guy asking softball questions of George Bush, by the name of Jeff Gannon. Now they vetted into him a little bit and found out that the same guy also had these, you know, gay.
I heard this was him.
Yeah, I think I sent it to you. Or you probably heard it somewhere, but yeah. And this guy Jeff Gannon actually, you know, came out, you know, as being a guy who runs gay websites and what would you call them, like you know, hookups for gays or what, you know, whatever type of things. Make a long story short, this guy won't take a DNA test, and the kid's own mother believes that it's her son. And or believes it's very good. You know, Noreen Gosch believes it very well could be her son. And this kid has been taken, and the whole investigation was just entirely screwed up on purpose, because you had cops that were involved and everything else. This was a case where they just abducted this kid who was and they supposedly targeted him. And the kids that actually, one of the people that actually was there. Came forward and everything, and this kid got a long jail sentence. Another person that witnessed some of this stuff was killed, it's just insane, the whole thing. Supposedly in it too, Hunter S. Thompson was making snuff films involving these kids. So you know, and the kid also supposedly called his mother his mother's website from what appeared on the IP as being from a Bohemian Grove, if you get that. It's a really weird story, but, you know, if you look at the pictures and see what happened with this, I think it's very likely that this is the same guy, Johnny Gosch, is Jeff Gucker, Jeff Gannon, whoever, et cetera. But that just shows how far it goes. You know, this guy ended up being, part of the, part of the Bush, you know, not the administration, but he was allowed White House access, you know. So really, really crazy story. But, you know, again, that he was one of the first kids to be on a milk carton, too.
Well, okay. I started looking into what I could do when I was 16. I was married. And I came across this back when Missing and Exploited Children came out. And I did the little, you know, write the senators, write the, you know. Go look on it now. Every time a child goes missing, the police are supposed to notify them. Go look it up in your state. Go look it up in your area. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And look at the last time it was updated. Now, for some reason, back in 2005, they found a whole bunch of kids they were able to bring home. That was the last. It's been updated around here. And I'll tell you straight up, my first sexual experience was before the age of 3, and it was with a police officer and a pimp.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's a lot of that stuff going on. You know, I mean, go ahead.
No, you can go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and like you said, you know, as far as it goes, I think it comes to, you know, the highest points in, you know, in people that are well-respected in their communities oftentimes, and you know, and also too, a lot of these, you know, a lot of these murders we hear about are actually, you know, a lot of times, like Brian was saying, the JonBenet Ramsey thing. There's a lot of weird stuff about that. It pretty much sounds like the parents were almost pimping her out, you know, and she was you know, it's just very, very weird stuff. Weird ties to Homeland Security there and everything else too with the father.
What's that, you know, TV show with that they have like a whole bunch of JonBenet Ramseys? It's you know, with the
Gutierrez.
That's pretty sick shit.
He said, "Well, what do they expect when they dress her up and make her look like that?" And I slapped him. That's a little girl.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. She has on makeup.
No, not at all. Absolutely.
Well, and then there's Mamba. They're promoting Mamba. I forget what it's...
Yes, I've heard of Mamba. I've looked into Mamba, the Man Boy Association.
Something like that, right?
Yeah. NAMBLA. South Park did an episode on that.
NAMBLA,
go ahead.
NAMBLA. That's what it is. N-A-M-B-L-A, right?
And that's an actual UN-sponsored group. That's United Nations.
Really?
Yes.
How's that spelled?
NAMBLA. National.
N-A-M-B-L-A.
National Alliance for Men and Boys Love Association or something like that.
What the fuck? I'm sorry, yeah. Guys. I am going to cuss. What the fuck?
No, it's okay. We've been cussing a few times tonight. Right there. This is the word right there in the chat, Gina. Virginia. NAMBLA. They talk about it, and I don't know how to get away with it.
I had somebody
they're saying, you know, the intergenerational sex isn't bad. That's what they're trying to push.
Who the hell's saying that? I like to NAMBLA.
Yeah, that's what NAMBLA is pushing, right?
There is a country that this is very acceptable. It was actually, I was shown the article. And when I questioned them, you know, what? The prime minister is looking for a new pimp to get his boys to do whatever? And you think this is okay? And I mean, you know, to them, this is normal.
Have you guys checked out the Alfred Kinsey story?
No, sir, I haven't. I don't know about these guys.
You know who Kinsey is?
I'm familiar with Kinsey. Yes, go ahead.
Well, he was the first so-called major sex researcher, and there's a movie about him. You should just go see it rather than me tell you about him. But you know, he's suspected of, you know, he had some correspondence with a pedophile guy who kept all these notes and, you know, like all the details of, you know, and basically, long story short, Kinsey, you know, was responsible for the whole free love thing and the sex thing, and you know, he was saying that, you know, children, you know, even young children, you know, a year old,
get
whatever.
Stimulated.
Have sexual experiences. And Yeah, you should go check that out, because apparently, his writings were largely responsible for the so-called sexual revolution. And
he was
Alan Watts,
Freud?
You know... Sorry?
He was before Freud?
No, he was in the 50s. His book came out in the mid-50s, I think. But, you know, Alan Watt talks about this, too, about the you know, he's saying, you watch for it, they'll be promoting bestiality. And
oh
and
my God,
intergenerational. and just, I don't know, 6 months ago, something I saw a calendar come out with these, you know, half-dressed women with animals. In sort of, you know, they weren't like really sexual poses, but they were very suggestive.
I was an animal nurse for 7 years.
So, you know, it's all part of this destroy the family. And also, according to Alan Watt, what's his name, the philosopher ran a school, I guess connected with the Tavistock Institute, where they experimented and found that the younger that they could get children to start engaging in sex, the less likely they would be to form, you know, long-lasting bonds in later life. So,
in Korea,
you know,
they have, by the time a girl is 8, she is taught to swallow an egg and reproduce it without breaking the shell.
Yeah, and you know, and then all these the bisphenol A and whatever, these chemicals that we're getting, apparently you know, kids are reaching puberty at a younger ages. So, you know, there's something, you know, a grain of truth that seems to be happening that we can kind of see.
And fewer gonna do anything about.
Well,
because
you know, the I don't think we can do anything about that in specifically. It's like we got to solve the whole problem, and then that will be solved too. And you know, again, I think we need to talk a lot more about this. But
well,
the,
you know, when they
the
talk about the FEMA camps, of course we all know about the FEMA camps.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because Brian wanted to mention that tonight, too. So why don't you say what you have, and then we'll let Brian interject a little bit on it. Go ahead.
Do you know that as soon as they... I know I'm targeted, and I know why I'm targeted. They're going to take the children from their parents immediately. Your children will be taken from you. What do you think they're going to do with them?
I don't know. I don't think they want to. I honestly don't think they want to take it to that extreme. Once people start seeing their neighbors dragged out of their homes, that's going to cause a big problem. I think they could control the situation better than that.
You know,
maybe I'm naive, Gina.
In my situation, I know this to be a fact. You know, I've read. Well, I had to. I was put in a position. I had no choice. They will go and make you look like you are insane. Do I sound like an insane person?
No.
I wish I was. Because crazy is a lot more fun. This is no fun. The psychiatrist I've been taking my daughter to for the past 9 years, he's not from here. He quit. Guess what he's going to go do now? He is not even going to be a psychiatrist anymore. He's going into the seminary.
Yep.
That's how bad this area is.
Well, and there's a good point you brought it up, and I'll let Brian get his point out in a second, Brian Hamilton. But one thing I wanted to add to it is, you know, we also had a case about a couple of years ago, maybe 20 years ago, but it just came out recently, about the Catholic Church and Queen Elizabeth in visiting Canada. And they, in fact, had a place there, and I think a few kids were ritually murdered and you know, abused as well there, you know. So I mean, it's rampant throughout every major religion, and especially, you know, the Catholic Church and even the Kabbalah Jews and you know, a lot of this, and not just them too, especially in the military industrial complex. I don't want to single out any one group.
No. My father, who I barely know, was a chief master sergeant. He's retired, or a master sergeant. Too highest up you can go. He's married to a Korean woman now. Top secret man. Very secretive. I don't know why I just brought him into that. Something you said triggered something. The government's very much involved in it. And they are... the pimp that molested me, after my grandmother died, started calling me in the middle of the night and harassing me about how going over 20 years of my life. If you'll remember, Justin, we had talked about some things that have gone on with me, and you were saying that, you know, that sounded like demonic something.
Yeah.
You remember now?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay. Watch the Kathy O'Brien.
I've read her book. I've seen everything about
shit that they do is designed to do that mind control. It's to further it. It's to traumatize the brain to the point that they can do anything to you, to your body, anything. When you look at the age that I was when this started, why don't they have control over my mind yet? They still don't.
That's what it always was. But you know what, Gina, we're going to have to let you go. We're up against a break. We've got to take another break. I want to thank you for calling. And do you think maybe you could call in next week?
Of course.
Is this your first time here on the show?
Yeah, I'm with y'all.
Okay. Okay, we'll be on at the same time next week, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, Junior.
Thank you for calling in.